It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study in the book of Ruth, we left off with verse 7 of chapter 3. It says there, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she," of course that's Ruth, "came softly and uncovered his feet, and laid her down." We continue reading on with verse 8, and it says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid." And the man was Boaz, of course. "And turned himself," Boaz turned himself, "and behold, a woman lay at his feet." Well, now this shows the man was afraid. But what does this mean? I think it's because he was unaware of how events would transpire. Ruth followed Naomi's advice and went down to the threshing floor. Boaz was not aware of this, and this was taking place, and it really took him by surprise. Well, I want you to notice also that the threshing floor, and this is a place we could say in our lives of trial that refines our faith, that is down. Notice now he was down on the threshing floor, and sometimes we get down. When we're down, that is something that is trying our faith. When something happens to us, it just kind of knocks us down, and we just don't understand sometimes. And this is a representation as we look at the book of Ruth. The threshing floor was down. And we get down sometimes. And it's a place where John the Baptist testified in John chapter 3 and verse 30, where we must say what John the Baptist said and have the same idea that John the Baptist had. He said of Christ, "He must increase, but I must decrease." It's something that, once again, we need to be humbled like John the Baptist was here. John the Baptist was a man among men, but when he saw Christ and he understood who Christ was, he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." See, it's easy to talk about, but never nice in reality when we think of this, and maybe it means coming and acknowledging to the Lord that we've been a failure as a Christian, a failure as a husband, or a failure as a mother. But when God creates, He starts with nothing and creates something. When we realize that really we are nothing without Him, and when we look at this, He creates something. When God makes somebody, He always starts with nobodies. But it always starts by laying yourself down in humility at the Lord's feet. Well, this is where Ruth was at concern, as we look at it, concerning Boaz. She was lying at his feet. And this shows humility. Boaz was on the threshing floor to protect his property from robbers. There was always the threat of robbers, just as David was told. And it was told in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." See, so this man was protecting his property, that's Boaz, and no doubt he was startled to have something like this take place. He didn't know that this was going to take place, and with Ruth and being there, or with anyone else being there. At verse 7, remember, we read how that he was lying there and Boaz was afraid. It was midnight, and something unexpected was happening. Boaz might have been thinking of Job chapter 34 and verse 20. And after all, it was midnight, and in Job chapter 34 and verse 20 says, "In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand." Well, Boaz probably knew the Old Testament, and as Boaz turned, he found a woman at his feet. Well, Boaz was startled. But as he turned, he found a woman at his feet. And chapter 3 and verse 9 goes on to say, "And he said," and this is Boaz, of course, "Who art thou?" And she said, and that's Ruth, "answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Well, there's a question answered here. It was no doubt hard to see. It was midnight, and Boaz asked, "Who are you?" Remember, he was startled. The question is answered here. It says, "Who are you?" And Ruth answers and says, "I am your handmaid." Well, handmaid and handmaidens translate from two Hebrew words, and both of the words, which normally mean a female slave, are used as a term of humility and respectful self-deprecation in the presence of great men, prophets, and kings. Ruth continues by saying, "Protect me." We see this when she said, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid." That's what that means, protect. When we think of this, we go back to the book of John once again, and this reminds me of the protection of the Savior for his own. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16, it says, "I am the good shepherd." Of course, this is Jesus speaking. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Well, Jesus continues on this line of speaking here in John chapter 10. And we go from verse 16 of John 10, and we look at starting in verse 27 and 30. He continues by saying this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Well, in other words, they have protection. They're never going to die spiritually. They're alive spiritually. Jesus goes on to say, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." We see not only do we have eternal spiritual life, we have eternal life. This body that we're in now will be changed one day. We'll live forever, but we'll also have that new body that's going to live forever. This old body's going to die, but the new body, we're going to live forever. Ruth was already under God's protection as we see her going down to the threshing floor. Just as we are, we're under God's protection, and she was now asking to be under Boaz's wing. Well, why would Ruth ask for Boaz's protection? Well, we see this as we read on, and we understand that Ruth recognized Boaz as Redeemer because she said, "For thou art a near kinsman." Ruth chapter 3 and verse 9. Well, in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Isaiah 47:4 says, "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel." And Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5 goes on to say, "For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." We keep reading on, and we see in Job chapter 19 and verse 25, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And you see, Job said, "And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." He said, "I know my Redeemer lives." And finally, in Psalm 19 and verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." But yes, Ruth looked to Boaz as her near kinsman Redeemer, and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. He is our strength. As we get saved, as people get saved, he's the strength that we need. He's our strength. He's our protection, and he's much more than that. He is our Redeemer. Well, Boaz makes a promise, as we keep reading here in Ruth chapter 3. We read in verses 10 and 11, it says, "And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followed us, not young men, that word followed us, that was hard for me to say, not young men, he says, whether poor or rich, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Well, we see here a blessing. Ruth did not look to young, old, rich, or whatever you would have there with men. She didn't look that way. She didn't look for that. She looked to the one who could redeem, according to verse 10. Boaz told Ruth he would not only protect her physical well-being, but also her testimony, according to verse 11. She was a virtuous woman, and her testimony would be protected. He would take care of this. Well, you know, God will protect his own, according to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. And Matthew 10:31 goes on to say, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The safe person, you're protected by God today. Now, I'm not saying that things won't come into your life that may cause you to have problems. God is there. God is taking care of you. As we think back, even in our lives, how God's hand of protection has been upon us, and we need to thank him daily for this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, and we see here about testimony. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See, people can look and they can cast a judgment upon individuals and say, well, you know, I don't believe that person is saved. You see, it has to do with the heart. It has to do with saying, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as Savior. I turn, Lord, from my sin as best I can, Lord. I'm coming to you. I want to turn from that sin. I want you to turn me, Lord. You'll have to do it. I'm confessing that I'm lost and I need a Savior. And then when we get saved, we realize that God protects our testimony if we'll let him, because it's God that justifies according to Romans 8:33. That we don't justify ourselves. It is God who justifies so that nobody can lay a charge to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says this, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, what does he say? And I will receive you. Jesus, God says, I will receive you. In other words, I'll let people know that you're saved. I'll let them realize that you have gone from death unto life. Well, God will stand up for us if we will let him, according to Romans 8:33. Ruth had come out from among them. Remember, she left Moab, the land of death, and the place of death, and she was different. She had separated herself from Moab, from the land of death, and Ruth followed a woman who had a godly testimony into the land of the living. She followed God. And we too need to lead people into the land of the living and be able to say, as the Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Well, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. Ask him to come into your heart. And Christian, you need to be standing up for the Lord, telling other people that Jesus saves and that he wants to save them.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.